Hello everyone and welcome to episode 50 of Down to Play. That's right, we've hit the big 5-0. I'm your host Matthew Dappertux Rondina along with Paul Next Gen Player Hunter. For this 50th milestone episode, we got to preview the upcoming PS5 exclusive Rise of the Ronin. Before we start, as always, we'd just like to give a special thanks to PlayStation and Koei Tecmo Games for providing advanced copies of Rise of the Ronin for early preview and review on this podcast and beyond. Keep an eye out. Our full review will be live Thursday, March 21st. Moving along, let's dive into the main feature of this podcast, our early thoughts on Rise of the Ronin. Rise of the Ronin has you embark on an epic journey across war-torn 19th century Japan in a combat-focused open world action RPG from Team Ninja, the veteran studio behind Nioh and Ninja Gaiden. The game is set in Japan in 1863, and after 3 centuries of the Tokugawa Shogunate's reign, the black ships of the West have descended upon the nation's borders and the country falls into a state of turmoil. Amidst the chaos of war, disease, and political unrest, you'll take on the role of a nameless Ronin carving their path through the war and political upheaval that define the period, holding the very fate of Japan in your hands. Next Gen, I'll get you to kick us off. What are your thoughts so far on this early slice of Rise of the Ronin?
Well, first thing I want to say is that I think it's awesome that Sony gives us these games so early, right? I know that you and I have both been reviewing games for what seems like forever now, like decade plus, yeah, or so in the game review space. And the fact that we can get a lot of their content, usually the single player games they end up sending us like 2 to 3 weeks before they come out, gives us lots of time to just sort of dive in and not have to rush through the game. So just want to start off by saying a big thanks to Sony and to Koei Tecmo for all that. We are actually playing the final version of the game. So it wasn't like a specific preview build. We're actually playing the retail version of the game. But one thing I should note is that obviously the game is not released yet and that there will be additional patches coming, I think, mm-hmm, including a day one patch. So things may change between now and when the game releases later on this month. But for now, like, I guess we'll talk about our experience for the first couple hours with Rise of the Ronin. I've been enjoying the game. I certainly got really excited when I first saw them announce the game, and then obviously the trailers that we've seen since, and getting my hands on the full game. I feel like it's a bit different. Like, I think the trailers are a little bit more action focused, but I think what I've realized is that there's certainly a lot of action in this game, a lot of combat in this game, but there's also like a heck of a lot of exploration in this game. I after the first couple hours of this game, I was actually sitting back thinking that it reminds me so much of Ghost of Tsushima. Like, it is, both of them, you know, of course, take place in Japan. Both of them have like big open worlds that you can explore. A lot of the scenery, the foliage, the trees, everything is like, you know, very similar to Ghost of Tsushima. And just in terms of like, you know, the open world and all the different activities that you can do in this open world, a lot of them are similar. Like, for example, like you can find shrines and you can pray at shrines just like you can in Ghosts, and you can follow animals around and you can grapple hook and like all these things. The bottom line is that, you know, at least after the first couple hours of the game, if you are a big fan of Ghost of Tsushima and you just like that gameplay style, I think this is a game for you. We're probably like another, like, what, 2 years maybe out from another Ghost of Tsushima game that the sequel hasn't been announced.
Well, they just announced the PC port of Ghost of Tsushima coming to PC. So that there, I guess there's an exciting refresher, but, if you're into, samurai, lore and Japanese culture, like, you're in for a treat, especially with this game. I think it's, you know, like, there's some arcadey elements to it as well too, but I mean, you're right, you're getting into that more open world and exploring by horseback and just seeing a lot of the cultural touchstones and, you know, early feudalist era Japan. It's just absolutely stunning. And yeah, I really have to echo Next Gen your sentiments around the idea that a lot of this is feeling quite a bit like Ghost of Tsushima, because I agree. Like, I have some serious flashbacks in terms of the gameplay is great, a little bit more, I would say, in depth with Rise of the Ronin when it comes to combat, especially with that DNA in there with Team Ninja and Neo. But you're right. Heavy flashbacks and heavy, just feeling like I am playing parts of Ghost of Tsushima over again. But at the same time, it's not necessarily a bad thing, considering, you know, it's an absolutely stellar game. But yeah, outside of that, were there other pluses that you just kind of wanted to draw upon with Rise of the Ronin?
Yeah, well, I think the best way that I can really describe Rise of the Ronin, at least this is my thought so far, is that like, the aesthetics wise, like, I would say it's probably a step down from Ghost, because Ghost of Tsushima is just an absolutely beautiful game. Like, the thing is, almost every game that's out there is a step below Ghost of Tsushima, because it's so beautiful. But I would say, like, you know, aesthetically it is maybe one step back, but gameplay wise it's probably one step forward. So I think you know, kind of like balances itself out. I think, like, I'm a big fan. I played Wo Long. I love that game. Beat that game. Love it. It's amazing. I played both the Neo games. Those games are amazing. Those games are awesome. Like, everybody knows that, like, the core of Team Ninja is their combat. They've always mm-hmm. excelled at combat. I've been saying, like, you know, I know I got flack a few years ago for saying this on social, but I actually thought that Neo had one of the best combat systems for a Souls-like, you know, versus almost any that's out there. I think it's just, like, it's super fast, it's super slick. There's like similar to Neo and Wolong, there's a whole bunch of different weapon types that you can get in this game. There's spears, and there's twin swords, and what else is there? There's the pole arms, and there's the katanas, and the what else is there?
There's a
great swords, bayonets, influence. Like, there's sabers, odachis, yeah. Like, I'm just
pistols, full on, like, long guns. Like, it's pretty wild the amount of an arsenal that you're exposed to, even from very early on in the game. One thing I do want to go back to and touch upon, which was great, because you and I, through the review process, we're lucky because we get to share feedback, or get to share our opinions back and forth. And it was great because you recommended to me, like, listen, when it comes to graphics, I highly recommend going back and playing the game on performance. And I was like, usually I'm like, oh, you know, I like my, and I've said it before on this podcast, I like taking my screenshots. So I always go in favor of graphics mode. But yes, I highly recommend. And once again, with the, you know, caveat, things can change with the patch, but play this game on performance mode. It just looks so much smoother and so much better. And it looks truly like a next gen title when you kick on that performance mode and you basically favor FPS over everything else. I didn't get to, so you basically have three options: graphics, performance, and ray tracing. I didn't get to try ray tracing. Did you get a shot with the ray tracing mode, or have you just opted so far for performance?
First started the game with ray tracing because I wanted to see, like, how visually stunning the game would look. And it certainly, like, it looked really good. But then I started to notice, like, as I beat the first mission with ray tracing, and I was like, this game, like, it looks really good with ray tracing, but it doesn't feel as good as a Team Ninja game. Like, it doesn't feel as good as Wo Long or Neo. And I know that, like, for both of those games, they had 60 FPS performance modes as well. So I was like, okay, well, it didn't really do it for me with the ray tracing. Because, like, visually, yes, it did, but I mean, like, gameplay wise, it underwhelmed when I was in that mode. So that's why, like, you have to back out to the title screen, and that's where you can switch the graphics mode. So I did that, went to performance, and I, like, it was, like, really almost like night and day. Because I think it's probably like 30. I don't actually have, like, one of those, like, FPS counters where I can see exactly what the frame rates are, but it does feel like, you know, ray tracing in the graphics mode were like 30 FPS, and this is like, I wouldn't say it's a locked 60, because I did notice that there were frame drops, like, every now and again, especially if you're, like, gliding through a heavily congested town. I felt like it might drop down to like, 50 frames or.
But it makes the combat, and I even found just like walking through, densely populated urban area, things are still a lot smoother on performance. And it's just, yeah, like you said before, night and day, perfect comparison there, because yeah, it's a big change. And for people like me who are, the graphics purists, are just like, I want the cleanest looking image with the most high res textures. That I would say for this experience, unless something changes, once again, caveat could be that update that comes. But wow, like play this in performance mode. From the speed of the combat, and like you said before, you're describing everything as like moving really slick and smooth. And yeah, play this in performance mode. I guess that's one of my first recommendations for our listeners once they get their hands on the game. But maybe things could change. But man, yeah, performance mode. I'm happy I mentioned that to you, and you said to me, yeah, play it in that, because it's been a big difference.
Yeah, and I think the in terms of combat, like as I mentioned, it's like it's I think it's like way more advanced than Ghost of Tsushima. The combat in Ghost was like super awesome, so I'm not like knocking that game at all, but everyone knows, Team Ninja is kind of in their own league when it comes to gameplay, and I feel like they really put their best effort here. So it feels like, I mean, if you played Wolong or if you played Neo, it's very like similar here, where you've got like there's different fighting stances that you can switch to, so you can like you can have your like your twin blades, but your t within your twin blades you've got different stances, and each stance will allow you to have either advantages or disadvantages against other weapon types. So like when it's cool, because like when you're fighting an enemy, you'll see like right beside their health bar you'll see an arrow, and it's either like if your weapon's at a disadvantage, it'll be a red arrow pointing down. If you're at an advantage, I think it's a blue arrow pointing up. And then if it's kind of like a neutral weapon, it's just like a white line. So you can kind of see. And then so like, if you're noticing that you're fighting a guy and the arrow was red and you're like, oh my gosh, it's like I'm at a disadvantage here, you can either swap weapons, because there's a sub weapon that you can swap to at any point, or you can change your stance with your existing weapon, and then you can actually like see in real time the arrow might turn to like a blue arrow pointing up, and you're like, okay, good, I've got the advantage with this stance, and so I'll keep at that.
And again, like you were talking about before with twin blades, if you have a partner with you, we can't go into too much depth with, partners or how many partners there are. But within this early sort of preview discussion, we can talk about one partner that you meet up with. And it's pretty cool how you can just seamlessly in combat switch between two different fighters, as next gen you were just talking about. But it happens so seamlessly that up and down arrow system that you're talking about, is that maybe that you as one fighter is approach your fighting stance or style just isn't working. You can seamlessly like switch between, so one person could potentially drop a smoke bomb, well then you switch back quickly to the other fighter, and then just like absolutely hack and slash away at the more difficult opponent. But it's very cool, because like you between having that sort of gameplay variety with swapping back and forth between two different players, you can also approach various like settings. Like I've been going in more, katana's blazing idea, but you can approach like go back and forth between like stealth and full on action. But yeah, I have really liked that mix that gives the player a little bit more agency within the world.
You touched on a good point, which is that like very similar to Ghost of Tsushima, you can there's like a bunch of different ways that you can approach missions. You can go in like with yeah with your you can literally get American style guns and go in there and just like shoot all the enemies point blank, right? You can do that. You can, if that's your style, you can do that. You can go in with your like your great sword or your odachi and just slice them to pieces. Or if you prefer the more stealthy way, which is the way I usually try to at least start with the stealthy way, and then sometimes you get alerted by enemies and it becomes chaos. But you can walk up, you can assassinate, you can actually assassinate on your glider too, so that's pretty cool. You can glide over somebody and then a red target will appear in their head, then you just hit the, what is it, I think the triangle button for the assassination. You just like you swoop down, you assassinate them. You can do like chain assassinations too. So you can, if there's like two enemies that are side by side, you can get them both at the same time.
Yeah, which is, and there's light combat on horseback too, which is pretty cool. I didn't expect that. So yeah, if you're especially going into like a group of enemies or going into a small town in the open world that needs some help, as you're approaching that first initial sort of wave of enemies, yeah, you can totally just, you know, rattle the saber from horseback for the first little while, which I also appreciated. It's not like instantly as soon as you engage with an enemy, you're thrown off your horseback and then you're down on the ground. You can, yeah, I guess we can call them vehicles between the glider and horseback. But yeah, there's a lot of different ways to kind of, you know, approach combat and the open world, which really appreciate.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, because I know a lot of people that really like the Team Ninja games, they love to like tinker, and there's a whole bunch of different like upgrade systems that you can do for your weapons, and this game probably has just as much, if not more, than other Koei Tecmo games. Like, you can basically, like, every weapon that's in the game has 25 different levels. So if you like stick with, say, the pole arm and you use that, you know, this is the same as like Neo and as well, where you could upgrade your weapons if you use them more often. So you can upgrade, and then as you upgrade your weapons, you unlock new abilities and like get skill points and all these other perks for that. So there's that.
It's amazing. You get so many weapons. Like, even in the first like hour or so, I was going through my inventory. I'm like, almost as an enemy is felled, it's almost like every three enemies, I would say, and boom, you have some sort of new weapon. And it's not just swords, like you said before, it's spears, it's all sorts of different armaments, guns. It's pretty incredible. So they really did bring in that West versus East influence, where the more Western influence with broadswords and guns, but at the same time, you can mix all these things up. So you can have like ranged with bow and arrow or ranged with gun, combined with like close combat with, you know, two different type of swords, which is very, very cool. I really do see a lot of people, like you said before, if they're really like that Neo combat, if they like that vast access to weapons and tinkering and upgrading, there's so much here, and there's hours alone worth you know, in doing those things.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of other ways that you can improve your character as well. Like, you know, like you have a character level, so you gain experience as you kill enemies, and then there's also you can also upgrade. So you can like, you can pay a merchant to upgrade your weapons. You can like trade in some resources to get like higher stats for it.
And just in terms of character creation, I don't know if we didn't really touch on that too much, but when you come into this game, and well, I guess we slightly mentioned it in the intro, is you kind of create your very own Ronin. Like, you can pick male or female. Not getting into too many spoilers in terms of like who you get to play as in the end, but you get a choice and you can customize this character. Like, so far throughout, like from the beginning of the game, there it's very robust character creation, and then you get all sorts of different garments. Like, as much as there's a ton of weapons to choose from, like if you are really into, you know, character creation, there's a lot here, from hair color, facial hair, like right down to garments. There's just a ton to experiment with.
Yeah, I was actually like pleasantly surprised, because I found out right away when I started equipping different armor and different boots and different gloves and all that, it everything shows on your character right after you equip it, right? So you can like as we talked about, like the story for this game really is like, it takes place in the correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the 16th century Japan, and this is at a time when the American black ships have arrived at Yokohama, and the U.S. diplomats are there, and they're trying to create a treaty with Japan to, you know, to share knowledge and share weaponry and the arts and all that. So that's where it takes place. But like, some of the garments that you can actually get in this game are American style. So that's one of the cool things. Like, you know, it's one of the big differences, I would say, from say like Neo and Ghost of Tsushima, which, you know, those games felt very Japanese in their attire and their aesthetics. But this one is like, there's a lot of like Americanization in this game from the way from like di there's like American buildings and American weapons and American outfits you can get. So yeah, I think it's really cool. And the other thing too is you can also if you have a favorite outfit that you want to, you can actually go in and you can like, what is it they call it? Like transmogging. So you can go into like the system and you can basically like equip whatever armor you want, but then you can customize the look of that armor. So you can change it back to like, the previous armor that you had to have that cool look still.
Yeah, I love that so much when you're just able to kind of you find a look that you love, but you're like, oh man, now I just don't want to get rid of this because, I don't want to get rid of this because I want this attribute attached. But yeah, you're right. When developers added in things like that, that transmogging where you get to keep the visual look, but you get to keep the buffs of whatever else you found is, yeah, tops in my book because you get to keep, that unique identity that you've established within that world.
Yeah, and in terms of like, 'cause you're mentioning about how you had like dozens of weapons within the first little while of the game. I think fans probably either love it or they hate it. Because when you 'cause for example, if I'm playing a game like a From Software game, if I'm playing a Dark Souls or if I'm playing an Elden Ring, like there's a lot of different armor sets and weapons that you get in those games, but each one is like distinct. Right, you only get one of like the blood swords, and you only get one of whatever like dark robes or whatnot. Right, like so in those games, like everything, every item you get is unique. But in this game, just like in previous Team Ninja games, like you can literally find a bayonet, but then you can find like 20 different versions of that same bayonet that the new version might be like a level higher, or it might have like a different perk than the previous one, right? So I think like this is the type of game where it's you'll be a couple hours in the game and probably have like 150 or 200 items that you got to root through. So there's a lot of like rooting through items and like picking out the exact perks that you want, and then of course the ones the items that you don't want you can either sell it, or you can even do like skill sharing. So if you have an armor that has four slots but only three are used up, you can swap in a perk from one of your other armors. It'll consume that armor and it'll be gone forever, but you can transfer that skill over to your own.
Totally. And yeah, a lot another thing that I really enjoyed as well, and I think that makes this kind of unique is the glider. So you get that thankfully like very early on in the game, which is great, and it really does help to enhance and move along the traversal. Like even in urban settings, I was surprised by like how easy it is, like with a lot of population density spaces. Like the first town that you get into is Yokohama, and even in there you're able to glide around the city and see it from above, which is really really cool. So I love that touch. Again, like you said before, there seems to be like a lot of ideas with this, whether it's Ghost of Tsushima, whether it's Assassin's Creed. There's a lot of things that and well, Neo and the combat, there's a lot of really cool ideas at play here. And so far, like I like the direction everything is going, and yeah, I'm just really excited to continue to play more from, how rich and expansive the world is. Even getting into Yokohama for the first time, there's just so many side activities. I'm not going to get into too many of them here, just for spoiler purposes. But yeah, so far really enjoying what I'm playing and just the amount of diversity and activities and things that I'm doing. Combat's, top notch at this point. Yeah, the weapon variety. If you like sorting through inventory or you like, you're an inventory sicko and wanna, really mess around with your character, Rise of the Ronin has it in spades for sure. Next, is there anything else you want to talk about on the positive sides, or did you want to talk about into some of the dislikes so far in this early preview of Rise of the Ronin?
Just one more thing that I'll mention, which I don't know if it's positive or neutral, but I think some people would definitely consider it a positive, which is this, as far as I know, this is the first Team Ninja, I guess I would kind of consider this like Souls-like. It's the combat is definitely Souls-like. The open world doesn't feel Souls-like, but the combat does. But it's the first one that actually has difficulty settings. So you like you usually they just have like one, which is hard. But this time they've got three, so they've got Dusk and Dawn and Twilight, which equates to easy, medium, and hard. And I can say I didn't try Dawn, which is the medium. I tried Dusk, which is the easy, and then Twilight, which is the hard. I tried both of those to see the differences, and like, wow, is it a big difference? Like when I was playing on Dusk, I wasn't really super challenged. Like I didn't die on any of the main bosses that I fought, or like I didn't die in the open world. I don't think I even died once really when I was on Dusk. But on Twilight, like Twilight, I would say is probably about on par with the base difficulty for things like Neo and Wolong. So like when you're playing on Twilight, you absolutely like you have to master parrying, right? There's a parrying which is called Counter Spark in this game, which is basically the same thing as parrying. You stun the opponent. You can like it depletes their ki, which is their stamina, and then once their stamina gets fully depleted, that's what you can do, like killing blows to them. So you really have to like you have to master like all of these more advanced tactics when you're playing on Twilight. But when I was playing on Dusk, like I think it was helpful to master things like parrying, but I don't think it was essential. Like I could beat some bosses just by running and dodging and all that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I can attest to that too, just the running and dodging. 'Cause yeah, with parrying, I am not great. Like I'll admit it, I'm not awesome with parrying when it comes to just games of these elk, like of this ilk. And thankfully, yeah, there's the different difficulties and there's different ways to approach combat from both stealth, which I've mixed both stealth and action. So I will get my first early stealthy when available. Like if there's a big tall set of grass next to the group of enemies, I'm using that big tall set of grass to sort of creep up and then picking out who's the strongest in the litter and then getting my sneak attack in. Usually it's just a stun if it's a higher level enemy and you remove a little bit of damage, where if you targeted someone a little bit lower, you would completely assassinate them. But anyways, I use that to my advantage and then go in. But yeah, it's kind of cool how it kind of has that more open world approach to the combat, where you can, use the gliders you were mentioning before for assassinations, being go in full steam on horseback, or just even sneak in and just try to chip away at a group. But yeah, overall I'm really enjoying what I'm playing so far. Next gen though, in terms of Rise of the Ronin and some of your dislikes, what are your thoughts on some things that you're hoping to see improved in the next update or before launch?
Well, I think that the first couple of missions in the game are all very linear. I think they're basically like tutorials, which teaches you all the different mechanics. But I thought overall that they were pretty good. And I thought story-wise it was pretty good. Like it really like sets up a lot of drama and just an anticipation of what's to come. But I found that like right after those two missions, that's when you get into Yokohama and that's when the open world opens up. I kind of wasn't sure what I should be doing at that point. Like I think I
It's
this
overwhelming, and
yeah
there's
the
it's there's a lot of way that the story pulls you in different directions at once, and
yeah well it was kind of like the story like intensity kind of dropped off. But then I would say like, by the end of this like 2 hour preview, I think it started to pick back up again. So I started to get like more invested, more excited about where things are going. But it's kind of like I'm thinking probably I got a little spoiled because I'm play like I had so much fun playing Ghost of Tsushima. But I remember like, the intro of Tsushima where there's that epic battle and
And we're
the
also just coming off of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That's
Oh
that
yeah.
is a big one to follow up with. So I'm trying to also temper some of my expectations, knowing that, yeah, with Rebirth, and certain things from that game. Yeah, it's just we were spoiled. But this is not to say this is a bad game, but yeah, you're right. I hear what you're saying, and it's so hard. I feel bad for Rise of the Ronin in those ways, because you're right. It's just gonna constantly be compared to Ghost of Tsushima, and I think it's the setting is similar, and much of the combat is similar. A lot of the gameplay mechanics are too, but in some ways it's doing some new and different things. But yeah, that the other shadows out there in gaming right now, they loom pretty large over some of these experiences like Rise of the Ronin. But it's still, you know, standing on its own 2 feet, an excellent game. But yeah, back to what you were saying with the story. Yeah, you're right, just in terms of just the ebbs and flows and the early pacing, no spoilers. But you're right, at first it's like very tight and, you know, you feel like you're on a very, you know, basically on a bit of a revenge path of a story. I'm not going to say avenging who or what, but at first it gets tight like that and then you start meeting other people and then it just gets a little bit more open in terms of where you go next. So yeah, I definitely echo your sentiments in terms of, yeah, like, where's this going, what's coming next? And you know, maybe it's, again, it's just the short slice of the story and what we're experiencing so far with Rise of the Ronin, but you're right, I did find that very early on too.
Yeah, and I think that like we were talking about this a bit before the podcast started, but I think another thing that's I think could be improved for sure is the voice acting in the game. I think in some cases it's okay, but in other cases I feel like they
almost sound like they recorded the voice acting like in separate spaces. Like you and I with this podcast, we're not in the same room right now. And there's certain ways you as the listener are probably picking up on that, right? And we're not pretending that we're not in the same room, but when characters in a gaming setting are in the same room with the same ambient noise, like virtually supposed to be surrounding them, and like one person's clearer or one person has, you know, something, it just sounds, the accents also too sound really forced. I don't know if you found that as well too.
Yeah, and
it's just
for
like,
sure.
And we were talking about going back and potentially thinking like, oh, you know, like let's see if there's a, you know, a Japanese dub, but that isn't available either. So you're just kind of sitting with these, you know, English dubs or English voice acting, which some of it's, like you said before, really good. Your character, as far as I know, doesn't speak, right? Next gen, there's no like lines of dialogue that come from your character. It's like few and far between as the protagonist.
There is a bit, but yeah, it's like, it's very, very few and far between. And there's a lot of like a character will talk to you and then you'll have like a dialogue choice that you can pick from, but you're like, your protagonist doesn't actually voice that line. You just kind of pick whatever you want. But yeah, in the cutscenes that I've seen there in the early goings, there is like a handful of lines that your character says, but not a lot. It's like mostly a silent protagonist, I would say.
Yeah. Sorry, in my mind's eye, they had a voice, but I'm just like, I don't remember them speaking. But it's my own internal monologue, like dialogue for the.
It's because they hardly ever speak. Like you'll hear your character speak like, you know, one line in an hour or something. Like it's so forgettable. Like sometimes the cutscenes finish, and then I remembered, oh yeah, my character actually spoke finally. Mm-hmm. Well, that was amazing.
Yeah, which I think they wanted to do that on purpose, like as a design idea of like you're in the shoes of that character, which I appreciate. But yeah, my one of my biggest minuses that I have written down here in some of my earlier notes from this small vertical slice of the game is just, yeah, there are parts where the voice acting is just, it's a little bit much. And then other characters you'll meet, it's great. And they're very memorable, but there are some other characters where it's just like you're getting pulled out of the experience just based on the way that they are speaking. And it's not the fact that it's broken English or anything like that. It just sounds a little bit forced, or some of the voice dubbing sounds a little bit hotter than others. But that's what stood out to me at first. Again, it's a minor qualm. It's not totally like, you know, experience breaking, but it does break the immersion here and there. But overall, you know, the combat's going to pull you back in, the open world experience, and just overall the background ideology of the story between East versus West being told, and it's being told, you know, quite well so far. Especially the environment itself also tells a bit of a story. Like when you're in Yokohama, you're seeing older, more traditional Japanese dwellings, sharply contrasted with, you know, those of the Western influence. So it makes for a really cool area to explore and check out. But in terms of my other lists of dislikes, really not too much out there at this point. So I'm just going back into my notes here. But yeah, I think I've covered off a lot of my pluses, a lot of my minuses. We won't be delivering, obviously, a final score in this podcast like we usually do, because this is a preview. But any sort of final thoughts, Next Gen, on your early experience with Rise of the Ronin?
Well, I mean, like I said at the top of this review, I think that it is probably, in terms of the open world and exploration and visually, it's maybe a bit step down from Ghost. But in terms of gameplay, it's probably a step up. So I think it's really, I mean, I'm liking it. I'm enjoying it. I can't wait. I think, I don't know how long this game is going to be, but it seems like it's going to be quite a lengthy game, a lot of side content, to it. So I'm totally okay, with what I just said. I think that I personally really favor gameplay. That's why I've always been a big fan of Team Ninja games. So the fact that the gameplay is just so mm-hmm. slick and so smooth and so fast, and there's so much variety and depth to the gameplay, I'm personally invested with it. It would have been nice, because I know we're playing on the PS5 and we played Ghost on the PS4. It would have been nice to like, I remember when I'm sure you had the same experience, but when we first played Ghost, like, we could barely believe our eyes, right? Like, everything was just so stunning and so beautiful. And I didn't have that same feeling of awe. Maybe I'm just kind of used to graphics now. Like, graphics seem to have sort of like tapered off. I'm not sure if you feel the same, but I feel like the PS5, like Xbox Series Gen so far, hasn't been like graphically, a huge leap ahead from the PS4 and the Xbox One. It's like slightly better, but not nearly as big as we're used to in other. Other console leaps
with Rise of the Ronin 2, I feel like there's certain points where, you know, the sun will be setting, you'll be in the open world, and just it looks stunning. And then there's other areas where the textures seem just like a little bit muddy and a little bit lower res, but it just keeps going sort of, you know, back
for
and
sure.
forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, not to say that it's any of its
some of it is beautiful, like you said. Like I know we're allowed to talk up until like the when you start venturing into Yokohama and go into like the entertainment district, like that district was like beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's cherry blossoms and there's colors that pop and you're just like, oh wow, like look at this. Like,
yeah,
by comparison, when you first come into Yokohama, there's a lot of there's a lot of characters and you know, bustling and things happening in the environment, but the environment itself is just a little bit drab. But then you get into this certain district and it's like, oh wow, this looks absolutely incredible, and reminds me of like when I visit some of these more ancient spots when I went to Japan. So it does have, you know, some points where it's a little bit sparse, but then you get into these like unbelievably rich areas and it's just like, oh wow, I want to explore all different parts of this. But Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm happy you brought that up, and I think it's fair to mention, at this point. But again, very tiny slice. Maybe there's more of those jaw-dropping moments to come. But I think that kind of rounds things off. Next Gen for a Rise of the Ronin early preview, early thoughts.
Yeah, I mean we could probably, like always, we could talk for hours about these games, but I think we'll cut it off for there. We've got the review embargo is the 21st.
Yep, so that's correct.
Another 10 days or so until we can if we can get our full review out. And I think we'll have a lot more to say in 10 days, but for now that's it.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of like Rise of the Ronin, I think one of the best marks of any good game is the fact you want to go back and play it. And I think right after we conclude this podcast, I think we're probably both going back to that game to deliver a full review coming up. But excited to play more, excited to deliver more of our full thoughts and score the game when the time is right. But that is, once again, going to be March the 21st. Keep an eye on our socials just for when the next episode is going to drop. But that's game over for this episode. I'm Dapper Tux along with Next Gen Player. Be sure to follow us at Down to Play Cast, our official podcast X account. You can also find us on X and Instagram at Dapper_Tux and at NextGenPlayer. For more gaming news, check out our websites dappertux.com and nextgenplayer.com. We are always down to play.